Moscow. Midnight on a bitterly cold February night in the year 1926.
Twisting that pretty little ankle. There's no need to wait, cabby. Take my arm, my dear. The courtyard is never as well swept as it should be. Come along, Stepanovich. Open the gate. Oh, a cold night, Stepanovich.
Even colder before I get to bed.
Well, others will sleep sounder for knowing that you're out here. Good night, Stepanovich.
Good night, Citizen Pavlov. Good night, miss.
Peter! Peter!
Oh, shut up, Squiddy. Let's get some sleep.
Can't sleep, too cold. No sense lying under this tar boiler now it's gone out.
No worse gonna be any better.
It's coming up at 1 o'clock, Peter.
Well?
Pavlov's gonna be playing his gramophone. Let's go and listen.
Won't make us any warmer.
We might forget how cold we are. Let's find Slippery and go there.
Comrade. Comrade. Would you open the gate, please?
Leaving already. Not that I care if you go or stay. Good night, miss.
Good night, comrade.
Here. Here, did you notice? Did Pavlov lock his door after you?
I suppose I'd better go and see.
What's that? Who's there? Ah, it's you, Boris, isn't it? Tormenting me again. Well, wait till I get over there. I'll put this stick to your back. You young devil, come on out. You can't shelter in my courtyard. Come on out. I'll break every bone in your skinny body. Come on out. Come on out.
You'd think the fat belly would know by now. We don't hide in the woodshed or the sand bin.
He still goes on looking there.
Shall we tell him where? Up here, fat belly, on old Pavlov's balcony.
Shh.
What do you think old Pavlov's going to play for us tonight? The fleece on?
Shut up, you two. Oh.
You want us caught? Pavlov's just the other side of this window.
Can you see, Squinty?
Curtain's drawn too close. Can't hear nothing either.
Listen. Quarter past one. I wish old Pavlov would hurry up.
He'll play himself a song soon. He always does.
His Master's Voice by Arnold Yarrow, based on the novel by Ivy Litvinov, with Gary Bond as Andrei Mikhailovich Nikulin. His Master's Voice.
Why is it, Yanovitsky, that all the murdering in Moscow seems to be done on Saturday night?
End of the week, citizen procurator. Eve of day of rest. Citizens more inclined for a little relaxation.
Is that how your average murderer looks on a killing? A little relaxation?
Oh, not the murderer, citizen procurator. Those who are murdered. Gentlemen are usually murdered during relaxation.
I believe you're right. This murder would seem to bear out your theory. Victim happily listening to his gramophone when... Oh, very neat. The blade has entered just above the collarbone and pierced the jugular vein. There's always a lot of blood spilled when the jugular is pierced.
That's true, citizen procurator.
How was he found?
A porter's wife usually brings him his early morning cup of tea. Well, this morning, no answer, pushes open door... Sees horrible sights, she says, citizen procurator. Oceans of blood, citizen procurator.
Yanovitsky.
Yes, citizen procurator.
What is your present rank?
Detective inspector.
Mm. Well, I have no intention of honouring you with your full title each time I speak to you.
Oh, no need, citizen procurator.
Nor is there any need for you to honour me with such formal styling as citizen procurator or comrade district investigator each time you address me.
No, citizen... Well, that is...
No, sir. Will do. Do you have your notebook?
Yes, sir.
Let's get started then. Sunday, February the 14th, 1926. I'll write it down, Yanovitsky.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
We'll start with a description of the room. Small, squarish, two doors. One from the corridor, the other to the bedroom. One window, curtain still drawn, the only light from a hanging lamp. Dutch stove in the corner, still warm. Comfortably furnished, two leather armchairs and a sofa. A bureau writing table, open, letters, papers, journals. Glass-fronted bookcase with books. Am I going too fast, Janowitzki?
No, sir, with books.
Smoker's table with a silver cigarette box. 3 or 4 ounces, I would say, and solid silver, not plated. If it was a thief, he missed that. Oh, see who that is.
Oh,
some of these smaller items, I'll set them aside, can be taken to my office. See what they tell us there.
The doctor said to examine the body and the mortuary men to take it away.
Good morning, Doctor. Come in.
Good morning, comrade.
Well, the others can wait, Yanovitsky.
Wait there, comrade. Won't be too long.
We were just about to take note of the corpus, Doctor, but do proceed with your examination while we finish ours. Notebook, Yanovitsky.
Yes, sir.
In the centre of the room, a square table, evidently prepared for supper for two. Upon the table, a portable gramophone, lid open, a record upon the turntable. Also upon the turntable, half concealed by the open lid, the head of the deceased. Pavlov?
Arkady Petrovich Pavlov, already noticed.
The head of the deceased, etc., yes. Would seem to be resting as if asleep. The handle of a dagger protruding from the neck. Yeah. Proceeding from the point of entry of the dagger, a considerable flow of blood has trickled down the seated body and across the flooring as far as the door. Well, I would think, Doctor, that you won't get much more by examining the body here.
Probably not.
Cause of death is evident. Let the mortar men in, Yanovitsky. You can take him away.
Yes.
Oh, before he's moved, Doctor, I should like to have that dagger. If we lift him away from the gramophone lid, it can easily be reached. Come here, you fellow, sir. Give us a hand.
Yes.
Yanovitsky, hold the gramophone. Right, you two lads, one each side, and raise him from under the arms. I'll hold the head while the doctor plucks it out. You all ready? Yeah. Now, lift. Oh. My God. Shall it happen? And that's enough of that.
Yeah, it's more than enough.
I'll bring the gramophone record to my office, Yanovitsky. Pavlov's head must have fallen upon it last night when it was already turning. Lifting the head allowed it to start up again. If only the voice would speak to us, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, open the curtains, Yanovitsky. Let some daylight in. You may remove the body now, lads. Doctor, I shall be at my office this afternoon. I'll expect your report then, eh?
Right, certainly.
You carry on with the local inquiry, Yanovitsky. I shall see the porter and his wife and then get some dinner. Sit down, Yanovitsky, if you can find an empty chair. Why my office is always so cluttered with files is a mystery that I can't resolve.
With respect, citizen... sir, rather stand. Think better on my feet.
Well, as you wish. Be a good fellow. Stand a little easier. Thumbs against the trouser, seems it?
I would have it, sir. Die hard.
Yes, well, what have you got to report?
Sir, house of deceased, as we know, stands at one side of the courtyard. Only occupants... One, deceased himself. Two, Stepanovich, the night watchman. Three, four, five, six, seven, and eight, Stepanovich's family.
Mm-hmm. Well, the family are all asleep the night through, and I've got Stepanovich's statement. Go on.
Opposite side of courtyard, a block of flats. Front entries to flats on Sand Street. Rear entries in the courtyard. Only outside access to courtyard... is through the gate on Little Paul Street, where Stepanovich was on watch.
Well, that's interesting.
Sir?
Well, an intruder could have avoided the gate by slipping through the block of flats.
No, sir.
No?
No connection between front and back entries of the apartment block, sir. So no way through without going into one of the flats and out again by the kitchen door.
Well, perhaps we needn't look as far as that. We know from Stepanovich that a young woman entered the courtyard with Pavlov at midnight. She left alone... at 1 o'clock. The doctor's report states that the murder took place between 12 and 2. So, cherchez la femme.
Sir, there was one lady showing an unusual interest.
Which lady?
Tenants of block of flats, sir. All interested, naturally.
Naturally.
But one in particular, though. Lady in a grand fur coat, staring up at Pavlov's window, asking questions. Tears in eyes when she heard the answers. Not just the cold wind making them water.
Who was this tearful lady?
Burova, sir. Yelena Mikhailovna Burova.
Lives alone, number 68, in the block of flats. Profession? Manicurist.
Manicurist?
Trims fingernails.
I know what a manicurist is, Yanovitsky, but on Sand Street?
Just what the porter said, sir. If you ask me, were his words, Bourava has gentlemen friends who contribute to her welfare.
Mm. Lady with gentlemen friends?
Couldn't be the lady who left the courtyard at 1 o'clock, though.
Why not?
With respect, citizen procurator, Bourava could have gone straight across the courtyard from Pavlov's house to the back entry of her own flat. Why go out of the gate and all the way round to Sand Street?
Why, indeed. We must ask ourselves that. Do you know, Yanovitsky, I think I could be in need of Miss Bourava's professional services.
For cutting your nails, sir?
What else?
They're already down to the flesh.
Oh, my goodness gracious me, you have let your nails go. Your right hand on the pillow, please. And why cut them yourself before coming to a manicurist? Well, it looks to me as though you've never been to one before.
You've guessed right, I never have. But yesterday a friend told me my nails were a disgrace and advised me to have them seen to. He gave me your address.
Really? Oh, who could that have been?
My friend, Arkady Petrovich Pavlov.
Arkady Petrovich? Do you mean to say you knew him?
Of course.
And you haven't heard?
Heard what?
He's been killed. Murdered in his own room.
You must be mistaken. I saw him only yesterday.
And I saw the police outside the house today. He lived just behind here, you know, the other side of the courtyard.
Well, how can that be? This is Sand Street, and he lived in Little Paul Street.
The courtyard runs between the two.
Ah.
Oh, dear. I wish you hadn't mentioned him. I was beginning to think of something else. Oh, did that hurt?
No.
Well, you could have knocked me down with a feather when I heard. Why, he came to have his nails done only the day before yesterday. Such a lovely man. I'm sure a better-hearted man never existed.
Yeah, he was a great-hearted man.
Sorry. Yes, that's just what he was. A gentleman. Not many like him in Russia nowadays, but then he lived abroad so long and became a thorough European. Oh, I shall miss him, I can tell you. Now the other hand, please, and this one in the bowl.
By the way, who was it that heard the shot?
The shot?
I mean, who found out about the murder? I suppose somebody heard the shot and gave the alarm.
Oh, you mean Paul Pavlov? Oh, he wasn't shot. He was found this morning stabbed through the heart.
Through the heart?
Oh, yes. This hand on the towel now, please, and the other in the bowl. Oh, we shall make a gentleman's hands out of these yet.
Well, Yanovitsky, I don't think our assassin was Miss Bourava, despite the ferocity with which she attacked my fingernails.
With respect, sir, never thought so myself.
Why not?
On the evidence, sir.
Evidence?
Items brought here from rooms of deceased, suggesting who might have been his midnight visitor.
Well, let's have a good look at them.
Yeah.
A note not in the dead man's handwriting, but written on the top page of his writing pad. Sorry not to have found you. Waited 3/4 hour. Have to be at the theatre by 7:30, so must go. No signature, just the initial S.
Deceased went to the theatre on night of murder, sir?
Deceased went to the theatre most nights. A great lover of the ballet. Or a lover of ballerinas, particularly in flesh tights, judging by his collection of photographs and copies of V. Parisienne. But you're right. The programme on the bureau was for last evening's performance at the Bolshoi, Esmeralda. I wonder, is that a gypsy van, eh?
No, sir.
What do you make of these?
Circular pieces of gilt metal foil, intended to represent gold coins, were usually stitched on gypsies' waistcoats. Well, stage gypsies, that is. Real gypsies have the real coins.
Yes, the murder weapon? A stage gypsy's dagger?
Yeah, certainly a gypsy dagger. Caucasian. Typical decorated handle and long, slender blade. Too real for a stage dagger.
Though. Oh, that blade is sharpened, both sides up to the hilt. Razor sharp.
Yeah.
If I were a manager of a ballet company, would I allow my temperamental dancers to carry such a weapon?
Oh, don't know, sir. Better ask him.
Gorbunov. Manager of the ballet department of the Bolshoi Theatre.
A district procurator, Nikulin. My detective officer, Yanovitsky.
Great honor, citizen manager. Bolshoi Ballet recognized as gem in Soviet...
Yes. Citizen Gorbunov, I want you to take a careful look at this dagger. And these two metal foil discs. Is it possible they come from your wardrobe?
Possible, yes. But the one person who can tell you for certain is our Lydia Vasilievna. A remarkable lady. Our wardrobe mistress for 30 years. Not much that escapes her notice.
I'd like to speak with her now. Where will she be?
It's the interval. She'll be in the quick change room at the side of the stage. Well, you wouldn't believe the damage these girls do to their costumes. Mm-hmm. Every interval, Lydia needs to put a stitch here, a stitch there. I'll take you to her. If you don't mind the girls.
Ladies, ladies, everyone outside, please, except for Lydia Vasilievna. Quickly, ladies, don't fight for your attention. The curtain will be going up. Hurry now.
Lydia Vasilievna, I want you to tell these gentlemen, do these items come from our wardrobe?
These gentlemen?
From the police department, Lydia. Be sure you give them truthful answers.
Oh, the two gilt coins, they could possibly come from one of our costumes. But not the dagger, that's real.
The coins, from which of our costumes, Lydia Vasilievna?
Well, it's probably an Eastern dress in Tensigor.
Which hasn't been given this week.
No, it hasn't.
Lydia Vasilievna, with your permission.
Certainly.
Do you ever give out costumes for masquerades or private theatricals?
In special circumstances. Mm,
to outsiders or only to members of the company?
Or to both.
Was any dress given out in this way during the past week?
Yes.
An Eastern dress?
Yes.
When?
Yesterday.
To whom?
To one of our young ladies.
Who was it? I'll get it now. It's no use shielding her. It's got to come out.
To Dolitze.
I must ask to see this young lady at once.
Ah, but they're preparing to go on. That was the 3-minute bell. The next act will be ruined. She is one of a group of six to come on immediately.
I must insist.
Have you brought a warrant to arrest her?
I am furnished with powers to arrest any person or persons unknown in connection with the murder of Arkady Petrovich Pavlov.
Murder?
Oh, Tamarashka.
Dolitze? Impossible.
Fetch her at once. The third bell will go in 1 minute and then it will be too late.
Yes, it won't take a minute.
Dolitze! Dolitze, here, you're Dubinsky!
Yes.
Send Dolitze to me at once!
But she's just about
don't to... Don't argue, fetch her!
Come then, procurator. Who has been murdered? Who is Pavlov? And why is Dolitze, a girl in her teens, suspected?
You sent for me, Comrade Kobunov.
Come in, Tamara. And you, Dubinsky, can go away.
But this is impossible. The curtain is due to go off and you keep up Dolitze at the last...
Go and get your curtain up. Dolitze must stay here.
But...
Sit down. Tamara Georgievna. Comrade Nikulin wishes to ask you a few questions.
Tamara.
Yes?
Did you take a dress from the wardrobe yesterday?
Yes.
Do these two coins belong to it?
I don't know.
But it's possible.
Yes.
Did you return the dress to the theatre?
Oh, not yet. I haven't had time.
Did you wear a dagger with this dress?
Yes.
Where is it?
At home.
Are you sure?
Of course.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, could this be the dagger?
No, that's not my dagger. It can't be mine.
Why not?
It's marked. Is it with blood?
Ah. Well, perhaps you'll fetch us yours and then we shall be quite sure.
Hey, not so fast, young lady.
Where are you off to?
I can't go like this. I must change my clothes, wipe off the grease paint.
All right, but Inspector Yanovitsky will have to stay with you.
I won't look.
I'm going back to my office. Yanovitsky, you will accompany the young lady to her house and then bring her to me with whatever you may find. Ah, the dance of the six. No, five little swans.
Comrade Nikulin! Comrade Nikulin! Respected Andrei Mikhailovich!
Julia Cesarovich, what wind blows you in my direction?
A whisper. Blown in mine.
There's a whisper that the gentlemen of the press were not yet meant to get wind of.
Citizen Procurator, if you'd slow down a little. With my short legs, I can't keep up with you.
Well, Julius.
I ask only 5 minutes about the Pavlov case.
Pavlov?
Arkady Petrovich Pavlov. Found murdered, I believe.
I can't help you there, Julius. Nothing to go in that rag of yours.
Ah. But supposing I can help you.
How?
Well, three street boys were seen to enter the courtyard of Pavlov's house.
Well?
Have you found them?
There are several thousand young street wolves living rough in Moscow. They all look alike, lean, starved, ferocious. Who can hope to pluck out three from among them?
I can.
Do you know, Julius Cesarevich, I believe you can. They say you were once a street urchin yourself, is it true?
Who remembers? But suppose, Mr. Procurator, just suppose that Julius Cesarevich Itkin can get hold of the boys who are in the yard. Is that worth a 10-minute chat for the Moscow Star?
It might be. Come to my office tomorrow, we'll discuss it.
Wait, Comrade Nikulin, I'll come now.
Certainly not now, I still have work to do tonight.
Sit down, Tamara. Move some of these files, Genovitsky, put them on the floor.
Yeah. There you are, young lady.
Thank you.
Well?
Citizen Procurator. Well, proceeded to young lady's home as instructed, sir. Didn't take long to search. And found items now in your desk.
Is this the borrowed costume, Tamara?
Yes.
A Polozian maiden from the Prince Igor Ballet?
Yes.
There seem to be three coins missing from the row of coins bordering the jacket. Do you know what happened to them?
No.
And the scabbard goes with the dress?
Yes.
But there's no dagger in it?
No.
Nor anywhere in the young lady's rooms as much as she searched for it.
And what's this?
100 rubles, sir, in 10 ruble notes.
Oh, that's a lot of money for a ballet girl's a month's wages.
Nearly two.
Nearly two? Where was this hidden, where?
Oh, I can't really say, sir. She fetched it out herself.
She did? Well, Tamara, tell me about these things. The dress. When did you wear it?
Last night.
Where?
At Pavlov's house.
What were you doing there?
He asked me to come and dance for his guests.
How many guests?
I don't know.
It's a rough guess.
About 15 or 20.
Who played your accompaniment?
I don't know who he was. I never saw him before.
Oh, what instrument did he play? A fiddle? Piano?
A piano.
Piano. Now, the scabbard brought from the room has no dagger in it. A dagger was found in Pavlov's room. This dagger. Is it yours?
No, it has blood on it.
But if there were no blood?
It's like mine.
Right, it's like yours. Now, about the 100 rubles.
Pavlov gave it to me for dancing. I said it was too much, but he made me take it.
You didn't take any more?
No.
All right. What time did you arrive at Pavlov's rooms?
About 12.
And when did you leave?
At 1. I heard the clock strike as I left.
That means you were dancing from 12 to 1, or perhaps a little less, lying time to eat a sandwich, take a drink, which Pavlov surely must have offered you.
He did, but I wouldn't accept.
Why not?
I wanted to get home. I didn't like being there.
And that is all you have to say to me?
Yes.
Well, now, Tamara, I have something to say to you. There was no dancing last night at Pavlov's rooms. There was no accompaniment because there is no piano. There were no other guests. You were alone with Pavlov between 12 and 1, and between 12 and 2, Pavlov was killed.
Pavlov killed?
Stabbed in the neck with a dagger, Tamara. With this dagger, which fits your scabbard, Tamara, it fits it perfectly. Now, will you admit that it's yours?
Yes! Yes, it is. It's my dagger. But I never touched him. He was alive when I left. He was well. He was eating, drinking. I didn't touch him.
No, Julius Cesarevich, no one has yet been charged with the murder of Pavlov.
Oh, no, of course not. Tamara Georgievna Delitsa is merely spending a day or two as a guest of the prison governess, for the sake of her health.
Who did you say?
Now, Andrei Mikhailovich, you did promise an interview today.
On condition that you don't come back again without some information about those street boys.
Agreed.
Well, then ask me some questions.
Who was Pavlov?
Arkady Petrovich Pavlov, born of a Siberian family. His father managed a timber concession on behalf of an American firm. Young Pavlov joined the business, went to America, and was there at the time of the March Revolution. Stayed there.
And what brought him back?
Well, the Soviet renegotiated the concession with the Americans. Pavlov returned as their representative. Now, here's a picture of him with his first load of cut timber.
Opening of Obryest timber concession, Lomsk, Siberia, spring 1925. Can I borrow?
No, you can't.
That's worth asking. From Siberia, then, he came to Moscow.
Oh, it's manager of the Moscow office. An easy job for an easy-living man. He could afford to be with his salary paid by the Americans. Fond of a good meal, the theatre, the ballet, and of not-so-good women, judging by certain Parisian journals he collected. And these, found in a locked drawer also from Paris.
My word, Andre Mihailovich.
You wouldn't be allowed to reproduce these postcards in the Moscow Star, even if I were so foolish as to let you borrow them.
But I could perhaps refer to a man of exotic taste. And what about family, friends?
No one so far with any particular motive for killing him.
Except for Tamara Delice, who couldn't have done it.
Why not? Do you know her?
Only from a seat in the stalls. She dances like an angel.
I shall need stronger proof of innocence than that.
Our Tamara murderess? It's quite impossible.
Why do you say so, Lydia Vasilievna? Because she dances like an angel?
It's more a devil she dances like. Angels are not so fiery.
But you are fond of her.
Oh, we all are. The girls are fond of her. The boys adore her.
Did you know about Pavlo?
I heard gossip. Always hanging about the stage door, trying to get out Tamara to go with him. I didn't like her going the other night. I said no good would come of it.
Did you try to discourage her?
Yes, I did, sir.
Tell me about the dagger.
Well, it's hers, Tamara's.
Well, you didn't say that yesterday.
I wasn't asked.
Well, you could have spoken up. You stayed silent. Why? To shield her?
Well, what if I did?
Well, why tell me now that it's hers?
Well, there's no further use concealing it. Several of the girls know, and Dubinsky. They were all standing around when Tamara was ready to go, admiring the Polovtsian dress. And one of the young ladies said, "You need a dagger, Tamara. Lydia will give you one."
And did you?
Oh, she wouldn't have it. "I don't need your wretched cardboard dagger," she said. "I've got a proper Caucasian kinjal."
What else was said?
Oh, I have my work to do. I pay no heed to idle chatter.
Can you name the other young ladies?
Well, there was Matveyeva and Goldstein, and I think Kuznetsova.
And where will those girls be now?
Oh, at morning practice, with Dubinsky.
And one, and two, and again, and two, and beat, and plie,
A brief word concerning the dance du lit, if you would be kind enough to suspend the practice.
Very well. 5 minutes break, you may all go.
Except for Matveyeva, Goldstein and Kuznetsova, if those ladies would gather round. Now, young ladies, and you, Dubinsky. Last night, when Tamara Dulice was about to go for her midnight performance, someone reminded her, "You need a dagger, Tamara." Who was it said that?
I think it might have been me.
Ah, and which one are you?
Matveyeva, Litsa Matveyeva.
Well, Litsa, what did Tamara answer to that?
I can't remember her exact words.
Did she say, "I don't need your wretched cardboard daggers, I've got a proper Caucasian kinjal"?
Yes, she did. And she said, "I know how to use it, too. I remember, because we all laughed."
Can you tell me anything more than said?
Somebody asked if she could kill anyone by sticking the dagger through their heart. And then Dubinsky said... Shall I tell Dubinsky?
Tell what?
Dubinsky said... "Stick it through my heart, Tamara. You've slain me long ago anyhow, so you might as well."
I don't remember saying that. I don't remember anything to do with the dagger at all.
But you were there.
Conrad, you're cooling. I heard you were in the theatre. It saves me coming to your office. There's no need for any of you to stay. Take them off to practice elsewhere, Dubinsky.
That's all right.
Comrade Procurator, you understand that as manager responsible for these young ladies... A situation such as now arises concerning Dolice distresses me terribly.
Oh, that's natural.
A good girl, and such a talent, which I was the first to discover. A budding Pavlova, I assure you, but with a fiery eastern temperament that Pavlova lacks.
You too consider Tamara fiery?
A volcano, I assure you, a volcano of potential passions. I shouldn't care to be in the shoes of any man who roused her anger.
Oh, that's interesting to hear you say so. Did you know of her acquaintance with Pavlov?
I did not, or I should have done my best to discourage it.
Why? Did you know the man?
I knew of him, of course, as an amateur of the ballet.
But were you acquainted with him personally?
Oh, we may have exchanged a few words.
Pavlov was killed with Dulitze's dagger. Supposing he annoyed her, roused her anger, in your opinion she would then be capable of sticking a knife into him?
Not annoyed, Comrade Procurator. That is not enough. But Let a man attack her honor, and I wouldn't give much for his chances. Like many truly passionate natures, fiercely virginal, Comrade Procurator. Fiercely virginal.
Then your theory is that he tried to take her by force. She drew the dagger.
That's exactly how it must have happened. The girl struggles in the villain's arms. A quick, involuntary thrust with the dagger, the man falls at her feet. Mark my words, that's how it was.
And yet, Pavlov's pocketbook was empty. There should have been as much as 300 rubles in it. Dulitse herself owns to being in possession of 100 rubles of Pavlov's money.
That looks bad, very bad. I didn't know there was money involved.
She claims he gave it to her. But she couldn't have done after he was stabbed, and surely wouldn't have done before attempting to ravish her.
And disclose his intentions, of course not.
What is more, if she stabbed him while struggling in his arms, why was she not covered with blood? There was no struggle. Pavlov was killed in cold blood while putting on a gramophone record. The needle was in position, the spring fully wound. The machine even recommenced playing when the weight of the body, the head, was removed from it.
My God, how terrible.
You've gone quite pale, Comrade Gubinov. The details are upsetting.
Cold-blooded murder for theft, ghastly. But still, I don't entirely give up my theory. The struggle, the forcible embrace, she repulses him. He pretends to give in. He gets out the gramophone to throw dust in her eyes by offering supposedly innocent entertainment. But says something so cynical while placing on the record that the blood rushes to her head and she lunges at him. Ah! Then the need for flight. The open pocketbook nearby. Money. The means for flight. Half instinctively, she sweeps up the notes and exits. What do you think of that?
You could make a ballet of it, Comrade Gubinov. All it needs is the music.
Any word from my friend Itkin?
Well, the Moscow Star reporter. No, sir, should there be?
Well, he undertook to find the three boys from Pavlov's yard. He's had long enough to do it. Move the gramophone, Yanovitsky. What were you doing with it, anyway?
Sir?
The gramophone and Pavlov's record.
Oh, sir, well, seeking inspiration.
Really? Are you a musical man?
Well, criminal inspiration, sir. Time passing, little progress. Looking for a break in the deadlock. You know, sir, this is a foreign recording.
It would be, with the title in English.
There's also foreign trademark. A little dog looking in the funnel.
I don't know that we can make anything of that. Oh. Pavlov returned from abroad, he might have brought the record with him. Has friends and family abroad who might have sent it.
Sir?
Well?
There's a request from the prison staff. Said I'd pass it on, concerning Dolitse.
What about her?
Well, doctor reports highly nervous condition. Eating badly, hardly sleeping at all. Oh. Spends all night reading when she's not sobbing and moaning.
And what does she read?
Tolstoy.
No.
Yeah, the forged coupon. I don't know that myself. Well, she asked for it from the prison library.
Well, what's the further request for? War and peace?
Oh, no, sir. Writing materials.
Oh. Well, even Tolstoy had to make a start somewhere. I see no harm. Let Miss Tamara have the writing materials. Keep me informed of what she writes.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll instruct the prison staff.
White eagles.
Sir?
White eagles, Yanovitsky. Do they mean anything to you?
Well, would they be the same as snow eagles?
The white eagles were a division of Kolchak's anti-Soviet forces in the Civil War.
Ah.
Someone's written me an anonymous letter claiming that Pavlov was with the White Eagles in 1919.
Oh, trouble with anonymous letters can't be relied on. Pavlov was in America in 1919.
Oh, we assume he was, but listen to this. I, the undersigned, but he doesn't sign it, have seen photo in police station of A.P. Pavlov murdered in Moscow and prepared to swear that I knew subject of said photograph under name of Malinovsky. He was head of the notorious White Eagle General Staff at Lomsk.
Hmm.
In the Pavlov file, the photograph of him with the workers.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's the caption?
Opening of a blessed timber concession, Lomsk, Siberia, spring 1925.
Quite so. At Lomsk. Malinovsky, or Pavlov, so this claims, was head of the notorious White Eagle General Staff at Lomsk in the year 1919. Now, what ornithologist in our estimable security service can tell us about white eagles?
There were seven leaders of the counter-revolutionary White Eagles division, all of them officers on Kolchak's general staff.
Mm.
Do you know what happened to them, Comrade Tretikov?
Three of them fell into our hands. One died in action, another in his bed, which left two we were never able to trace. One of the two was called Malinovsky.
Well, if Malinovsky and Pavlov were one and the same, there's another you can cross off your list.
The security service will be very grateful to you, Nikulin, if it is so. It may even give us the opportunity of crossing off both.
How so?
The other missing White Eagle might have been Pavlov's murderer.
With what motive?
Self-protection. He may be now occupying an honored position in some government department. By no means a far-fetched supposition. In that case, the only man able to denounce him would have been Pavlov.
But why would Pavlov denounce anyone? He would only be giving himself away.
A private quarrel? A rivalry about some woman? This Dolitse girl, for example. Whatever the reason for their falling out, Pavlov would be in the stronger position. He was employed by an American company. He could at any moment go to the States and make his denunciation from there with no risk to himself. The only way to anticipate that would be to kill Pavlov here, in Moscow.
According to your theory, then, the last White Eagle is alive in Moscow and was possibly in touch with Pavlov. What was his name?
Milutin. Yevgeny Antonovich Milutin.
It's a pity.
Why?
Well, a note found in Pavlov's room was signed with the initial S. Now, if this fellow had offered us an S...
He won't be calling himself Milutin now. One of his assumed names may begin with an S.
But we don't know the assumed name. I'll leave White Eagles and the letter S with you, comrade. I shall concentrate on a ballet dancer and the letter T.
Ah, sit down, Tamara.
Thank you.
You don't look well. Perhaps you'll feel better now that you've made your confession.
Confession?
Your statement, then, delivered to me at your request. And did I allow you sufficient writing paper for what you wanted to say?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Mm. Because there are still some gaps, some points to clear up. You see, it was all because of a pair of silk stockings. Yes, here it is. Pavlov died because of a foolish girl was suddenly desperate to own a pair of silk stockings. That seems hard to believe.
But it's true, it's true.
Explain it to me, so that I can understand.
Well, Pavlov had been bothering me for 6 months or more, begging me to come and dance for him and his friends, praising my technique, although all he knew of technique was that it has to do with legs. Each time he asked me, I refused. And I would have gone on refusing if Vera had not come to rehearsal in silk stockings.
Vera?
One of the girls like myself, but quite unprincipled. Without any brains, without even a fraction of my ability. She had on a miserable pair of silk stockings. Well, I have fought and struggled and bit my way for years and years and years just to dance in the theatre. I've never had anything better to put on my legs than cotton.
You felt you deserved silk?
Well, I thought I would die if I didn't have a pair of silk stockings. So I said yes to Pavlov.
You said yes?
I agreed to go and dance for him and his friends. But there weren't any friends. I told him he brought me there under false pretenses, but he just laughed and put his arms around me. Oh, his breath smelled. But let me go, you old beast, I warned him, and he called me a wild little savage and tried to kiss me. I saw red, I felt my head going round, and I scarcely knew what I was doing. So, well, I got my right hand free and pulled out my dagger and...
Yes?
Well, then he became quite jolly and let go of me. Talked to me in a friendly way, almost with admiration. Begged me to stay and at least have a glass of wine. He wouldn't. He promised to come near me again. I said no, I wanted to go home. Mm. Well, when he saw I was determined, he let me go.
With 100 rubles that you hadn't earned.
I didn't want to take it. He was insistent. Well, I was half disgusted with myself for taking the money. But I was also thinking of the silk stockings I should buy on Monday. It wasn't until afterwards, when I learned that a man had been murdered, I came to realize that silk stockings don't matter. Silk stockings are not a matter of life and death. Are they, Comrade Procurator?
No.
I confess, yes, that I lied and lied to start with. I was afraid of being in trouble for going with Pavlov. Oh, but now I have told you the truth, the whole truth, and you can believe it or not, I don't care a pin. I'm not a murderer and I'm not a thief.
And all the courts in the world can't make me one.
But the dagger, Tamara. Pavlov was killed with your dagger. What happened when you threatened him with it? Did you mean to kill him?
If he hadn't caught hold of my wrist, I might have killed him.
So he caught your wrist, and then?
He jerked my hand up, and the dagger flew over his shoulder.
Where did it fall?
I don't know.
Did you hear it fall?
No, I didn't.
Did you look for it?
No.
Why not?
I really couldn't tell you.
When did you remember it?
Oh, when I got home and found it wasn't in the scabbard.
Tamara.
Well?
All we want is to discover the truth, yes?
Yes.
You can help. I want you to show me, to the very best of your ability, how you stood, how Pavlov stood, when you pointed the dagger at his throat.
Yes?
You understand, Tamara, there is only one place where we can replicate the exact conditions.
Oh, no.
Yes, Tamara. In Pavlov's room. We'll have it exactly as it was. Draw the curtain, Janowitzki. And only the center light was on. Now, Tamara.
Yes.
Inspector Janowitzki will be Pavlov. Where were you standing when the struggle took place?
Near the writing table, here. I could see the little statue of the dancer over his shoulder.
So, Pavlov with his back to it. Janowitzki?
Yes, sir.
And take hold of Miss Tamara.
Yes. Excuse me.
Is that how he was holding you?
He was closer, tighter.
Come on, Janowitzki. She won't break.
Oh, no, sir.
And this is how you both were when you threatened him with a dagger.
Yes.
Take it and show me.
No.
Take it, Tamara.
Must I?
Yes.
Look. Well, I held it like this.
Oh. And then Pavlov caught your wrist. Go on, Janowitzki. Twisted it. And nope. Don't let go of the dagger yet, Tamara. Let me see first where it would drop. Yes. Yes, you can relax now and give me back the dagger.
Oh, you found it.
There's a hole in the writing table. Small, quite deep. Scar is bright enough to be fairly recent. I'll just put a chalk mark round and see how the point of the dagger fits. Exact. Stay there quite fast.
Oh, thank God.
What for, Tamara?
Well, doesn't that prove that I didn't kill Pavlov?
It proves nothing, my child. Only that you might have dropped it there. The question would then be, who pulled it out?
And one, and two, and three, and four, and five, and six, and seven, and turn, and one, and two, and three, and four, and five, six, seven, and eight.
Citizen Dubinsky, thank you for coming to see me.
Did I have any choice?
No. You've been hanging around the prison where Tamara is being held. Why?
I pass that way sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yes.
You must think we go about with our eyes and ears closed. Tell him, Janowitzki.
Comrade Dubinsky frequently observed in the vicinity of prison, speaking to staff on duty. Twice made offers of bribes, once to smuggle in a letter.
And once, if it can be believed that anyone should be so idiotic, you tried to arrange a meeting with Tamara. Well?
Well, are you going to arrest me for it?
I'm going to ask you to tell me the truth, if you really wish to help your friend Tamara.
The truth, citizen procurator. Tamara did not kill Pavlov, that is a fact.
A fact, eh? How do you know?
I don't know anything, I simply feel she didn't do it. She is incapable of such a thing.
Is that all?
No, I'll tell you, and I can't help it if you suspect. Misunderstand me. On the night of the killing, I saw Tamara coming away from Pavlov's house.
You did?
Yes. She came through the gate, stood under the lamp for a moment, and then went whistling down the road with her hands in her pockets. Could anyone walk like that who has just killed a man?
What were you doing there?
I was waiting for Tamara.
So the night watchman didn't see you?
I stood in the shadow of the doorway. Nobody saw me.
Did Tamara know you were there?
I told her I would be. She forbade me. She said she would never speak to me again if I followed her about.
But you went all the same. Were you jealous of her with Pavlov?
I was jealous of her with everybody.
But especially with Pavlov?
I wasn't jealous. I knew she couldn't care for him. But I was afraid he might take advantage of her. That's why I waited to see her come out. If she had stayed any longer, I would have gone in.
What would you have done?
I didn't think about it.
What did you think when you saw her come out?
I was relieved. That I only wanted to make sure she got home all right.
And did you?
Yes. I walked along on the opposite pavement and kept her in sight all the way.
And then what did you do?
I walked back home to my lodging.
The room you occupy at... Where is it, Yanovitsky?
Lentovsky Place. Mm.
What is the rent?
What?
How much is the rent?
4 rubles a month.
Do you pay it regularly?
As regularly as I can.
How often do you fall into arrears?
Not often.
On Sunday, February the 14th, how much were you in arrears then?
I don't remember.
Remind him, Yanovitsky.
According to landlady, 24 rubles.
When did you pay that?
Sometime after.
How long after?
I don't remember.
So much you don't remember. It was Monday, February the 15th, the day after Pavlov was found murdered. You gave your landlady 30 rubles. 24 you owed, plus 6 extra to make it a round sum. She has it, noted down. Where did you get the money from?
An uncle in Kiev. He sends me money to help me along. As soon as he sends it, I pay up my rent.
And does he send it regularly?
No.
But on February the 15th, you received such a payment.
Yes, if I paid the rent that day.
How did it reach you?
The usual way.
And what is usual?
Through the post.
Do you have a letter that came with it?
No.
Or any other document?
No.
Supposing we question your uncle. You did not receive the money from an uncle in Kiev?
No.
How did you acquire it?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
I can't account for the money I had, but it wasn't stolen.
There should have been as much as 300 rubles in Pavlov's rooms. There was nothing. Did you take any of it?
I never killed a man or stole a kopeck. I was never in Pavlov's rooms.
You were there between 12 and 1 and again at 1:45.
Yes, but outside.
You were there at the time Pavlov was killed. You were jealous of Pavlov. After his death, you came into possession of a sum that you can't or won't account for. Now, before we lock you away, have you nothing more to tell me?
Yes. When are you going to let Tamara go?
Well, why should we?
What's the good of keeping us both? We can't both have done it.
But that's just what you may have done. I'm going to keep you both locked up, as accomplices.
Anyone got a kopeck for a poor hungry boy? A kopeck for a crust of bread? Oh, give us a kopeck. Or may you fall over the bridge into the river. Anyone got a kopeck for... Hey! Hey, it's Uncle Julius! Uncle Julius!
Ah, my young friend Misha. The very man I've been searching for. Where have you been all these weeks?
On holiday, don't ask where. Give us a kopeck for a crust of bread, Uncle.
You shall have 5 grivens if you give me some answers.
Make it 8 and I'll tell you anything.
7.
Done! Well, let's have the money.
Information first. Who killed Pavlov?
Don't know, Uncle Julius. Honest to God.
Goodbye, Misha.
Wait, Uncle Julius! You've been asking around, haven't you? Which 3 boys was in the yard?
Yeah, what of it?
I can tell you.
Well, that's something. Well?
For 7 grivens. For 7 grivens more, I'll help you find them.
Gramophone on the desk. These records, buy it. No, but not this one.
Where then?
On the shelf, the top shelf. Oh, and clear, some more chairs, Yanovitsky. Here they are. Now, give me this file.
Yes.
And open the door. Come in, Julius Cesarevich.
As promised, Covered Procurator, and on time. Come in, boys.
Yes, come in. And sit down, everyone. Is something wrong with the chairs?
They would rather stand, Andrei Mikhailovich, near the door with it open.
As they wish. You're going to tell me who they are?
Not proper names. Nothing you'd find on any records. But this is Peter Blackmug. He is slippery, and he's squinty.
All right. Now, boys. Julius Cesarevich informs him that you have a rather strange story to tell. Is that so? Well? Well, who is going to answer?
They won't open their mouths without a promise, Comrade Nikulin.
A promise?
Yeah, that you will only ask questions on the Pavlov affair. That you won't charge him with Pavlov's murder. That when they walk out of here, it won't be to a place of correction.
I promise. Word of honour. On my life.
I suggest a wet finger across the throat.
Like this?
That'll do.
Thank you, Squinty. So you three were in the courtyard the night Pavlov was killed. Tell me about it.
You tell him, Squinty.
It was like this. We three has been in the habit of getting on a Pavlov's balcony just under his window and hearing him play his gramophone. Which he did very well, didn't he, Slippery?
Very well indeed.
Well, that Saturday night we went there about 1 o'clock, which was his usual time for playing to us, and he hadn't begun. But we waited, not being in a hurry to catch train or anything, and he began not long after the quarter struck from the Spassky Tower.
Was he playing it for someone with him? A young lady, perhaps?
That he wasn't. She'd already left.
How do you know that?
The night watchman let her out of the gate, just before we slipped in.
We saw her.
Do you know her?
We know who she is. The lady that dances, Tamara Dolitsy. She didn't murder Pavlov.
He was still playing his gramophone when we was there at 1:30.
Yeah, which brings us to the test I propose, Common Procurator. The boys say they heard one song played all the way through. Then the record was turned over
and then it went... Just as though it was going to start up again, but before we could spit out a single note, there was a thunk, and then it went... and stopped.
And we ran off, in case it meant trouble for us.
The song cut short, Anna Mikhailovich. The side of the record on which Pavlov's head was resting. What was it?
An operatic aria sung by Shalyapin.
And you got the record here?
Yes.
Well then, if the boys can correctly tell you what's on the reverse side, wouldn't that prove conclusively that they did hear Pavlov alive playing his gramophone 1/2 hour after Tamara left?
It would be hard to deny the strength of the evidence.
Very well. Boys, what was the song that Pavlov played all the way through? The song of the Volga Boatman.
Is this the one you mean? Is this what you heard Pavlov play on that Saturday night?
Well, yes.
But you're not sure. So I started again?
That was what he sang, but you didn't play it as nice as what he did.
Ah. Yanovitsky, the record from the shop, if you please. Oh, sir. Be careful. It already has one crack. I think I can pick a starting place where it won't be too badly affected.
That's it.
Well, they've passed the test, Julius. They know the master's voice, all right.
Oh, well done, lads. Right, here's your 5 grivens each.
Oh, darn, Julius. Come on, Squinty. Peter?
No, no, wait a minute. No, I want to work with you. I only wanted to suggest that we might do something for them.
Oh, what? Make them into good citizens? No, you'll never do that. They'll stay in the streets till they drop from starvation or get nabbed breaking the law.
Well, Tamara has reason to be grateful to them. Yanovitsky, I want her brought to me at once.
Comrade Procurator refers to Dolit, say?
Well, who else?
Oh, well, with respect, sir, latest report from prison doctor not favourable. State of collapse, severe depression, not eating. Further questioning, he says, might overtax the system.
Blockhead, who says I want to question her? Have her brought to me.
Oh, yes, sir. Once
it. Oh, and find out from the doctor if she's fit enough to go home.
You are going to let her out, then?
Well, of course. The boys are clearly telling the truth. Things still look black against Dubinsky, and it's not impossible that he and Tamara may have been accomplices, but I've no evidence of that. She can go today if the doctor agrees.
Now, take my advice, Andrei Mikhailovich. Not any doctors. Now, she's a child of the streets like myself. She'll survive. She's peasant stock. And freedom's a fine tonic.
Well, you may be right. If so, she could soon be dancing again. Let's see. The Bolshoi program for the week ahead. Yes, Swan Lake on Sunday.
The Return of the Sixth Little Swan.
Kindly attend to whichever of these young ladies requires repairs. As for the rest, please leave at once.
Tamara Dolidze, my discovery, my protege. Let me congratulate you on your triumphant return.
Thank you, Comrade Gopinov.
How you have suffered. But the better artist for it. We must find you better parts. I shall speak to Vasily.
Thank you.
We'll discuss it further. A note addressed to you, left at the stage door. Shall I open it for you?
No, thank you. I'll open it for myself.
Well, just be sure it's not another Pavlov. Oh,
how exciting. No one ever needs notes for me.
No. What is it, Tamara?
An invitation.
There, I guessed it was.
No, not that sort. Lidze Matveyeva. It's from a journalist. Julius Cesarevich Itkin.
Julius Caesar?
He wants to talk to me about Dubinsky. If you would be so kind as to join me for dinner at the Writers' Club.
The Writers' Club? They're all 100 years old. You'll be quite safe there.
Can you manage all that steak?
Yes, why not?
And the beer? It won't prevent you sleeping.
Nothing will ever prevent me sleeping again. Just as in prison I felt I should never be able to sleep.
Well, I'm glad I've helped you to a good night's rest.
You?
Yeah. It was I who established your innocence. I found the boys who were able to prove your alibi. Didn't you know?
I didn't know. But now that I do...
What's the matter? What are you doing? The waiters are watching. And the other diners.
Let them watch. Why shouldn't I kiss you? You're a good man.
Yes, yes, my dear girl. But look, do sit down and finish your dinner.
Right.
And let's consider Dubinsky.
Oh, him.
What do you mean? I thought he was your particular admirer.
He's a silly ass.
Ass enough to commit murder?
But of course not. Every sane person must know that he can't be Pavlov's assassin. What on earth made them arrest him?
The money.
What money?
Well, the money he obtained, from where he won't say, to pay the rent he owed. And that was on the Monday after the murder.
Oh, that's all right. I gave him that money myself.
You?
Yes. On Sunday evening, the day I was arrested, just before the show, I gave him 200 roubles.
My God, child, do you realize what you're telling me? There are still some 200 roubles of Pavlov's money unaccounted for, and you admit to giving Dubinsky the same amount? Well, it's enough to get yourself rearrested. As an accomplice this time.
Look, don't get yourself all worked up, Julius Cesarevich. I'll explain. You can promise not to split.
Well, I will have to think about that tomorrow. I can't promise to keep criminal information to myself. I really can't.
You are a foolish girl, Tamara.
Yes, Comrade Procurator.
And a shameless one.
If you say so, Comrade Procurator.
Is this now the whole truth?
It is, Comrade Procurator. Promise. I told little Itkin, Julius Cesarevich, and now I've told you.
Well, we shall soon test it. We'll see if Dubinsky tells the same story. I shall be watching you both. And if I so much as hear one whisper between you, one hint of a prearranged signal... Bring him in, Yanovitsky. Now, sit him down by the window.
Yes, sir.
Dubinsky?
Yes?
No, don't look at Tamara. Look at me.
Well?
You anything fresh to tell me?
What about?
The money.
No.
All right.
I told you it would be the worst for you if you followed me.
Tamara.
You can't say I didn't give you fair warning.
Stand between them, Yanovitsky.
Sir.
Dubinsky, listen to me carefully. Tamara has told me the whole truth. Now, if you do the same, we can see if the two stories agree.
Is it so, Tamara?
Not a word from you, Tamara.
Well, how am I supposed to know what she's told you?
Oh.
How am I to know if she's really told you anything at all?
I have her signed statement here.
But you won't show it to me first, eh? You'll get a signed statement from me and then you'll compare them. Oh, no, you don't catch me like that.
Tamara.
Yes?
You are not to say any more than I request you to do. Now, answer yes or no. Do you swear that your signed statement is a true and exact account of how Citizen Dubinsky acquired 200 rubles on the day after the murder of Pavlov?
Yes, I do.
Will you inform Citizen Dubinsky how you came to make this statement?
I told a person who believed in us both, and he persuaded me to tell the procurator. And now, if you tell the whole truth, Dubinsky, everyone will realize that it must be so. Oh, don't you see? There's no other way.
All right. Since you've told, I might as well. A relation of mine who lives outside Russia in Berlin owes me some money. He sends what he can from time to time. 3 months ago, I was in debt, so I wrote and asked for whatever he could spare. Well, he sent it after some delay, and that is how I happened to pay my landlady on the day after the murder. And that's all.
How did you receive this money?
Through the post.
To what address was it sent?
To a friend's.
Well, why not your own?
Well, my cousin works on a counter-revolutionary paper. I have nothing to do with that, I swear. But all the same, I don't like getting money from him. So I have it sent to different addresses.
Whose address was it sent to on this occasion?
I can't tell you.
Oh, spit it out, Dubinsky. Can't you see he knows?
Tamara!
I'm only urging him to tell all.
Well, then, the friend was Tamara. She received the money from my cousin on the Saturday morning before Pavlov's killing, but she didn't pass it on to me until the day after. And that can be confirmed.
All right, but why did you not tell me this at once? Why the ridiculous pretense that it came from your uncle? Receiving money from a counter-revolutionary can be a serious charge, but not as serious as murder.
I was confused.
But don't you see? The young ass said nothing so as to distract suspicion from me.
Is that so, Dubinsky?
Well, I knew I could clear myself as soon as I pleased. And in the meantime, she... Tamara, Dolitze.
But Dolitze has been released days ago, didn't you know?
I heard.
So why didn't you speak up then and clear yourself?
I thought it might be one of your tricks, so I kept quiet a little longer.
My God! Do you realize what you've done between you? Leading me astray in a fog of false evidence. I should send you both to penal servitude for life.
But you won't, will you?
You deserve it, both of you. Don't you? Don't you? Oh, go on, get out. Go home. See them off, Yanovitsky.
Yes.
Well?
All attended to, sir.
And we start all over again with nothing more to go on than a note signed S. No. Pass me my hat.
The citizen procurator is going out?
We both are.
Well, there's the gate of Pavlov's house. No way of getting past it without the watchman seeing.
Over the courtyard, Walter?
Well, only with a ladder. You didn't find a ladder. There are no ladder marks in the snow?
No, sir.
Which leaves one other way of getting in, through the flats on Sand Street.
With respect, sir, impossibility, no way through.
But what if the midnight intruder was already in one of the flats, and left by the back door?
He'd find himself in the courtyard.
Exactly.
Mm. Whose flat does the comrade procurator have in mind?
Burdifer's?
These hands of yours are a disgrace, indeed they are. Oh, I never did see a man let the skin grow up his nails the way you do. Why ever do you do it?
Well, I've been so busy, I've entirely forgotten.
Oh, that's a poor excuse.
Now, if poor Arkady Petrovich were alive, he would have reminded me.
Poor Arkady Petrovich. And they still don't know who killed him.
No. I suppose he recommended others to you besides myself.
No, I really don't remember. This hand in the bowl now, please. And that's right, that on the pillow. Yes, it might even have been the other way about. Someone recommended me to Pavlov, but who?
Another man of affairs like Pavlov?
Oh, there are very few like him. So many of my clients are artistes, theatricals and the like, but mostly ladies. The gentlemen would rather get their nails done at the Salon de Coiffure, though I do get some gentlemen. The head of the ballet department in the Bolshoi Theatre.
Gubinov?
You know him, then? Oh, but everyone does. He's one of what I call my regular gentlemen.
More regular than I am, I hope.
Oh, yes. At least every week.
Really? Could it have been Gorbunov who recommended...
Ah, forgive me, Yelena Mikhailovna. I only looked in between patients to ask, will 9 o'clock be too late for you to do my hands today?
Oh, 9 o'clock isn't late for you and me, Konstantin Ivanovich.
Thank you. Forgive me, sir, for disturbing you.
He's not a theatrical gentleman.
Oh, dear me, no. He's a dentist. He has the next room to me, which is handy for slipping in when he has a moment to spare. Of course, he's very busy. Everyone who goes to him is satisfied and recommends him to others. My gentleman friend from America. Oh, well, we were just talking of him. Poor Arkady Petrovich.
Pavlov?
Well, he used to say that he couldn't get his teeth done half so well in New York as he could by Konstantin Ivanovich. And what's more, he was as good a fellow as he was a dentist and could judge a leg as well as a tooth.
A leg? I don't follow.
A leg in the ballet.
Oh.
Oh, poor Pavlov was a great devotee of Terpsichore, as you know, and so is Konstantin Ivanovich.
Indeed. I suppose they might even have gone to the ballet together or met there.
Oh, you can be sure they did. They were very friendly, two of a kind, I used to say.
Mm. Do you know, I need a tooth crowned myself, oh. And I keep putting it off. What is your dentist's name?
Konstantin Ivanovich. Sokolin.
Sokolin?
Oh, dear. Oh, I've made you jump. How clumsy of me.
No, it's not your fault, dear lady. The slightest touch on a tender spot. A little suffering for our good. Just like going to the dentist, eh?
Is that quite comfortable?
Uh-huh.
Not hurting you?
Uh-huh.
I think I've seen you before.
Uh-huh.
What?
Next door at the manicurist, she recommended you.
Oh, yes. Open. But I have a feeling I might have seen you elsewhere.
What?
That would depend on... the late Pavlov, you might have seen me calling on him. If you were in the courtyard at the time.
You knew Pavlov?
Oh, a casual acquaintance.
Why, there? The courtyard, eh? I think I have seen you there.
What?
No, don't move your head. I have everything under control.
I really thought he was going to finish me there and then.
We all feel like that in the dentist's chair.
No, but Comrade Tretikov, it wasn't my nervousness, but his that made the situation seem so dangerous. The clear suspicion on his part of my very presence in his rooms. I tell you, he is a man with a secret, I'll swear to that.
And the secret is murder?
He and Pavlov were acquainted, both devotees of the ballet. He could be the one who left the note signed S. He had access to the courtyard. And consider this. The killing was done with surgical precision. Sokolin is a dental surgeon.
But what reason would he have for killing Pavlov?
The political motive. The last white eagle.
Now wait, Comrade Nikulin. You wouldn't be the first investigator with a less than watertight case who has tried to make it good with political plugging.
But isn't it odd?
I'll have inquiries made concerning Sokolin. And any more of your manicure person's clients connected with Pavlov?
There is one other. Gorbunov, ballet manager at the Bolshoi. But his connection we knew about anyway. It's purely theatrical.
Gorbunov and Sokolin. Leave them with me.
Certainly. I'll leave you the political investigation, Comrade Tretikov. But we'll keep an eye on friend Sokolin.
He's gone, Citizen Procurator. Given us the slip.
What? How did it happen?
Well, sir, suspect Sokolin comes out last evening all dressed up. Astrakhan collar, grey trilby hat. Goes to art theatre. We follow, wait outside. Performance over, audience leave, last one out. Still no Sokolin. Inquiries inside establish all he's left behind is the grey trilby hat.
Blockhead! Why didn't one of you go in with him?
No tickets, sir.
Oh, my...
But all not lost, sir. Observation continued at Sand Street Flats. Seedy specimen hanging about Sokolin's door, ringing bell, kicking doorpost when no answer. One Smirnov, known to us, low-class offender.
Well, bring him in.
Already done, sir. And questioned. Sokolin employed him to carry packages to another gent.
Packages?
Yeah, little packages. No bigger than my thumb. No idea what was inside.
But who did he take these packages to?
One Chernov. This address... Citizen Chernov is a chemist, Citizen Procurator.
Sokolin? Do I know him? Konstantin Ivanovich Sokolin, dentist.
Ah, my dentist. Why didn't you say so?
What do you know about him, Citizen Chernov? Why did he suddenly disappear?
I'm afraid I can't tell you. I'd no idea that he had disappeared.
No? Then perhaps you can satisfy me on another point. What was in the packets regularly sent to you by Sir Colin?
I don't understand.
Small packages, this size? Carried by the criminal Smirnoff from Sir Colin, dentist, to Chernoff, chemist? What was in them? Out with it. Cocaine?
No, comrade. Not cocaine. Platinum.
Platinum, eh?
Just that.
No white eagles. And nothing at all to do with the killing of Pavlov.
And I thought it all fitted in so beautifully.
Too beautifully. Clues are seldom so obliging. But there's no need to be downhearted, man. Instead of one criminal, you run down two. Two and a half, if you count the little man who carried the packages.
But we haven't got Sir Colin. Only frightened him away.
A matter of time. The chemist will squeal. His sort always do. Think it'll get the more lenient treatment. Leave that to us. You've done your part. We're obliged to you. A dentist speculating in platinum and a receiver of illicit goods. That's really good work, you know.
I'd rather have discovered the murder of Pavlov. Yet I had a suspect on the very first day.
Comrade Nikulin. I didn't hear you come in. Throw me that towel, will you? Thank you. Oh, dear darling, stop the flowers, son.
Practice alone?
Yes. A new role. Ice maiden in the seasons. Quite an important step in my career.
And doesn't Dubinsky coach you for it?
No.
What's the matter? Have you two not made it up, yeah?
I never quarreled with the foolish boy. Simply can't be bothered with him. Or the rest of them.
Are there so many tomorrow?
Oh, man. Always wanting to make love to me. All I want is to get on with my work. Why can't they leave me alone? Now you're going to begin.
My dear girl, what reason have I given you to think so?
You looked at me very sentimentally just now.
That's the spring, Tamara. We can't help that.
Spring? Huh. Wasn't only in the spring, was it, with those two old men?
Which two old men?
Well, poor old Pavlov, of course, and Gorbunov.
Gorbunov? Surely the manager of the Bolshoi Ballet has never made love to you?
Oh, no, of course not. He wouldn't do such a thing. Only since I've been 14 years old. And if it weren't for him, perhaps poor old Pavlov would be alive today.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing special. But if it hadn't been for Gorbunov, I should never have met Pavlov. And if Gorbunov hadn't been so cross about my going to Pavlov's rooms, I might not have been so determined to go. I'm like that, you know, very obstinate about crossed.
Was your manager who introduced you to Pavlov?
That's right, at the arts club. Then after I'd seen Pavlov a few times, I'd only talk to him. Gorbunov warned me I'd better not associate with that type of man.
Meaning Pavlov?
I suppose he saw that Pavlov was getting sentimental about me and he got jealous or something disgusting.
Ye gods! And I hear this now for the first time. Why did you never tell me before?
You never asked me.
Oh! You say Gorbunov made love to you?
Oh, but, well, you know what I mean. Always pestering.
Pestering?
Now he's begun again. Worse than before, especially since he's known he's going abroad.
Gorbunov is going abroad?
To Paris, studying methods or something. I don't really know, I'm sure. But I do know it's made him more sentimental than ever, and I am sick of it. And now, if you don't mind.
Tamara, when does Gorbunov leave?
Oh, soon, this week, I think. It could even be tomorrow.
Going soon, is he? Well, you may leave it to us. He won't get any further than the frontier.
Do I understand it's your case now, Comrade Tretikov?
It could become mine. Listen to this. Gorbunov, Alexander Fedorovich, manager of Bolshoi Ballet, before that organized ballet in Kiev, theatrical touring company, and so on. He originally came from Yablo, a small town three times captured and recaptured by whites and reds during civil war. Now, a man with such a background might conceivably have been a counter-revolutionary. A white eagle. In fact, the last white eagle. Real name, Yevgeny Antonovich Milutin. But listen. All records at Yablo destroyed by fire. Nothing remains to identify or indict him. The traitor Milutin simply vanishes off the face of the earth. And our man takes the assumed name of Gorbunov. hiding safely behind the innocuous facade of a ballet manager. Until Pavlov comes along.
A theory, Comrade Tretyakov, but no evidence. If only one of those two names had an S somewhere.
Evidence? These objects were found in a disused iron stove in Gorbunov's room.
Found? By whom?
By my department.
But it's my investigation.
Let's not quibble, comrade. You want Pavlov's murderer, so do we.
Well, what is this horrible mess?
According to our chemical experts, ashes of burned paper. Rubber dissolved by fire at the same time, and possibly the remains of a thin rubber glove. And most interesting of all, this tinfoil disc, before it was scorched, was probably a gilt coin. The coin is the most convincing. Supposing in the struggle with Pavlov, there were three coins torn from Delitzsch's dress.
There were three missing, but I found only two.
The third could have been unintentionally taken away by the murderer. Either stuck to the rubber glove, which he wore to avoid leaving fingerprints, or lodged in the fold of a document, which he also took away. An incriminating document, the acquisition of which was the real reason for his midnight call on Pavlov. A document subsequently burned. That's the paper ash, to destroy all evidence against himself as both murderer and traitor. And yet, we have got him.
Well, why not arrest him, then?
No hurry. We know exactly where to find him.
Andrei Mikhailovich!
Julius! No, wait, I'll come through.
No, 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 I'll come to you. Well, what did you think, eh?
Think?
Of Delitzsch, eh, Tamara?
Well, no ballet expert, and she was only one of four.
No, 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 she stood out. A future assoluta. You'll read that tomorrow in the Moscow Star. Are you staying for the second ballet?
Well, why not?
Well, she's not it. I mean, it's long and dull.
All right. Come back to my room. I can offer you a drink.
Another vodka, Julius?
No. We've almost finished the bottle.
Oh, it was less than half full to start.
Mm. I say, Mikulin, tell the truth as a good fellow. Am I an exceptionally ugly sort of man?
Yes. Hmm. Did you say I was going bald?
Oh, yes. Some women prefer ugly men, but they can't stand them as short in the leg as I am.
Well, some women like bald men. At 45. So aging.
Women.
Yes.
Well, I feel quite better for our chat, Andrei Mikhailovich. I'll leave now. I say, is that Pavlov's gramophone?
No, it's one I acquired for myself. I seem to become more interested in music since...
Yes. Well, good night, Andrei Mikhailovich.
Good night, Julius Cesarevich.
Citizen Gorbunov.
May I come in?
Yes.
I must apologize for intruding at this late hour. My excuse is threefold. In the first place, I'm going abroad tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
And in the second place, I saw you at the theater tonight, and that made me think I should still find you up.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. Well, then, I asked Tamara if she knew your address, but she didn't. So we found it in the telephone book, and... Then I thought I'd come to see you.
Well, I'm glad you did. Is there anything special you would like to say to me?
Yes, there is. I want to know why the hell your fellows have been making inquiries about me. What do you mean by it, eh?
What sort of inquiry?
That's what I want to know. What business of yours are my relations with Burova?
Burova?
Does he only come for manicures? Does he ever stay? Was he in the flat on the night of Pavlov's murder? Well, I was. Could I have left by the back door? Well, I could. Do you want to know what happened then?
Citizen Gorbunov, I must caution you.
All the time for caution is over. Tomorrow you'll be dead, and I'll be on my way to Paris, so you might as well know. When I left Burova's, I saw a light in Pavlov's room. I wondered if Tamara was still there. The side door was open, and the door to his room was ajar. So I pushed it without knocking. Pavlov was alone, bent over the gramophone. My glance fell on a dagger quivering on the bureau top. I knew it must be Tamara's. It suggested struggle, violence, rape. I felt my breath become shorter. I seized the dagger and I plunged it in his neck. Another worm less on the earth, I felt. Then it was necessary to cover my traces. I took the money from his pocketbook to make it look like murder for robbery. Then I went back to Burova's flat, where I slept on the divan until morning. Now you know all. My conscience is clear. I have rid society of one of its pests. Getting rid of him was a public duty. Does that satisfy you, Comrade Procurator?
No. You weren't getting rid of a pest. You were ridding yourself of an enemy. You went to Pavlov's room with mischief, perhaps murder in mind. You even wore a glove to avoid leaving fingerprints. Yes.
Why should you suppose that Pavlov was my enemy?
You were both white eagles. As long as he lived, your security was threatened. And he held a document which somehow established your identity not as Gubanov, but as Milutin. You don't deny it. You can't. No, no, wait. I've not finished.
No more waiting. I'm leaving, but I'll kill you before I go.
It won't do you any good. You might as well put that gun away. You see, it's not only me. It wasn't I or my men who questioned Burova. There are others interested. You'll be worse off letting them take you.
I'll make things worse for you first. I'll shoot you down like a dog. Like the dog you are.
Julius Cesarevich, he hasn't even been scratched.
What? Am I not dead then?
Not yet, Andrei Mikhailovich.
Julius? Yes. Tamara Yanovitsky.
Hearty relief seeing you alive, sir. Came as soon as called for on telephone by Vanitkin. Soon enough to put handcuffs on suspect Gorbunov here. Regret not soon enough to stop him firing his gun.
But how do you come to be here, Tamara? And you, Ivkin? Will somebody explain?
Tamara.
Yes, but get in the right way up first.
Oh, of course. Your arm, Andrei Mikhailovich.
There.
Well, begin.
Well, it was like this. After he saw Comrade Nikulin at the theatre, Gorbunov began acting very strangely, muttering, throwing black looks, and he smelled strongly of vodka. So when I saw he'd found out Nikulin's address, I thought, he's up to no good, might be as well to follow him. And so it was. But by the time I'd got changed, looked for a taxi, found I hadn't got the 75 kopecks to pay for it, so took a tram instead. Where'd I got to?
Getting off the tram at the corner here and bumping into me.
Oh, yes, that's right. Gasping like a fish when he saw me and burbling, Tamara, Tamara, it's wonderful meeting you like this. Oh, yes, you did, Ivkin. Until at last I made you realize the procurator might be in danger. And then he came along with me, double quick.
Mm.
And we arrived at your door to hear Gorbunov shouting, dog, or something rude like that, and next minute there was a shot. Then we got in to find you lying half on the sofa and half on the floor with Gorbunov standing over you with a smoking revolver in his hand. And that's all.
tomorrow.
Oh, yes. And then little Aitken knocked Gorbun off down and then got the armchair on top of him and sat on top of the armchair until Yanovitsky arrived. Mm. And we were sure the procurator was killed. But when I went to him, he wasn't even scratched. Only his ear scorched by the bullet. And that is all.
Tamara, you're wonderful.
And so say all of us.
With respect, yes.
Well, the next thing is to get Citizen Gorbunov settled for the night. Take him off, Yanovitsky.
To our accommodation, sir, or Comrade Tretikov's?
Ours, of course.
Come along, you.
Give me my hat.
No hat's needed where you're going. But here it is.
All the same, I wish his name began with S.
Why?
Well, there was a note left for Pavlov signed S. I've been convinced all along that that was the initial letter of the murderer's name.
But that's right. S for Sasha.
Sasha?
Alexander Fedorovich Gorbunov. The pet name for Alexander is Sasha.
Oh.
Well, Pavlov always called him Sasha. He signed himself to all his most intimate friends with an S.
Well, how do you know it? Could, well, we can easily tell from the handwriting.
It's time for me to be getting along. Good night, Procurator.
Good night, Tamara. I have to thank you for my life tonight.
You're welcome, I'm sure. You coming my way, little Aitken?
Yeah. He says I'm an ugly fellow. Is that true, Tamara?
Goodness me, what on earth does it matter?
Do you consider that I'm going bald, Tamara? Do you consider me a very old sort of fellow?
I consider... You are both darlings.
That was His Master's Voice by Arnold Yarrow, based on the novel by Ivy Litvinov. Gary Bond played the part of Andrei Mikhailovich Nikulin. Detective Inspector Yanovitsky was played by Edward Cast. Tamara Georgievna Dolitse, Rosalind Adams. Tretikov and Stefanovich, David Goodison. Julius Cesarevich Aitken, Gareth Armstrong. Yelena Mikhailovna Burova, Francis Jeter. Vladimir Antonovich Dubinsky, Daniel Day-Lewis, Liza Matyeyeva, Patience Tomlinson, Alexander Fedorovich Gorbunov, Sean Barrett, Lydia Vasilievna, Hilda Schroeder, Chernov and the police doctor David Griffin, Arkady Petrovich Pavlov and Konstantin Ivanovich Sokolin, John Rowe. Peter, Squinty, Slippery and Misha by Judy Bennett, Mary Claire Nash, Paul Russell, and Elizabeth Lindsay. His Master's Voice was directed by Christopher Venning.